Welcome to the Daily Stoic, where each day we read a short passage designed to help you cultivate the strength, insight, wisdom necessary for living the good life. Each one of these passages is based on the 2,000-year-old philosophy that has guided some of history's greatest men and women. For more, you can visit us at dailystoic.com. Hey there, it's Ryan. Welcome to another Saturday edition of Daily Stoic. This is where we do longer episodes. We have the Ask Daily Stoic series. I give you a little update on what's going on with Daily Stoic, with what's going on with me. So one of the things that's new and exciting, I guess, for us is that I last week turned in the draft of what will be the next book for Daily Stoic. It's called Lives of the Stoics. I've been working on it for the last year or so. It's been, you know, it's been exhausting. I feel like I am just going from one book to the other, but I love it, so I don't stop. But, you know, this book is, there's actually sort of based on a Christian book. There's a book called Lives of the Saints, meaning that you probably wouldn't read a biography of all the different saints, but, you know, put together, there's all sorts of things you can and might be surprised to learn about these people. And so I wanted to make a book that was a biography of all the major Stoics from the ancient world. And so for the last year or so, Steve and I have been slaving away on this thing, Steve being my translator and co-writer on the daily book. So this book won't be out for a year. So it's not an ad for this or anything. I'm just sort of telling you about how it's gone. But I spent most of Christmas break finalizing the book, did a lot of editing. There's just all sorts of people. Like, honestly, I mean, I've been writing about this for a long time, and I didn't know who a lot of these people were. Definitely didn't know even how to pronounce some of their names. For instance, Chrysippus or Aristo or Panaetius. Posidonius. Again, these are people that you're probably not dying to read about in the abstract or think maybe only fit in a Wikipedia page, but live these sort of fascinating, complicated, and of course, very Stoic lives. So we've been researching all the things they did, all the things they wrote, all the people they met, finding all the interesting anecdotes and stories about them and trying to sort of bring them to life. You know, like, I think what I love about Stoicism is it's not a philosophy about what people say. It's primarily a philosophy about what people do. And so this is a book about what did the people who said things about Stoicism, how did they actually live? What were their lives like? Where did they fall short? What did they do right? What did they do wrong? How did they die? Where were they born? What sort of adversity or difficulties did they experience? And so that's what that book is. So basically the way it works is the first manuscript is in, and now it's with my editor, Nikki Papadopoulos. She's the one that edited all my other books, including The Daily Stoic and The Obstacles Away and The Ego's the Enemy and everything you've read from me. But so she's now got it. And this is kind of actually like the hardest part for an author because it's now in and now I know it's in somebody else's hands and they're just like tearing it to shreds. And it's like I did everything I thought I needed to do. I worked like hell on this thing. And I know what she has never once come back and said, it's perfect. You don't have to do any more work. That's just not how it goes. What she's going to say is she's going to hand me a big, you know, document filled with red lines and comment bubbles and suggestions and criticisms. So I'm kind of steeling myself in advance for how tough that's going to be. And then usually I get it and I don't read it for a couple days. Then I kind of glance at it with only one of my eyes open. And I sigh and I get serious and I sit down and I just start working and I chip away at the notes until it's as good as I think it can be. And then it goes back for another round and another round. And you touch these manuscripts dozens of times. And then eventually at some point, as Churchill said, you fling it to the public and hope that they like it. And so you'll get to see that soon, but that's sort of what's going on with Daily Stoic these days. That's what's next for me. And I actually have my next series of books that I have to start writing immediately after that. I like to go from project to project, as exhausting as that is. So as soon as this is finished, I'm already researching and thinking about the next project, and that will come soon. So that's what's coming from us. I'm really liking doing these weekend episodes. It's so cool to hear how many people are listening to these podcasts. And if you have suggestions for things we should do, if you have questions for Ask Daily Stoic, you can send those in. to info@dailystoic.com. We love hearing from you, and we will talk next week. So let's get going. Also, in today's episode, I thought I would read the February 1st entry for the Daily Stoic. I didn't read the audiobook, so I thought you might like to hear some from me. The day's headline is "For the Hot-Headed Man," and the quote comes to us from Marcus Aurelius. He said, "Keep this thought handy when you feel a fit of rage coming on. It isn't manly to be enraged. Rather, gentleness and civility are more human and therefore manlier. A real man doesn't give way to anger and discontent, and such a person has strength, courage, and endurance, unlike the angry and complaining. The nearer a man comes to a calm mind, the closer he is to strength." And then the story for the day, or the discussion, it goes as follows. It says, "Why do athletes talk trash to each other? Why do they deliberately say offensive and nasty things to their competitors when the refs aren't looking? To provoke a reaction. Distracting and angering opponents is an easy way to knock them off their game. Try to remember that when you find yourself getting mad. Anger is not impressive or tough. It's a mistake. It's weakness. Depending on what you're doing, it might even be a trap that someone laid for you. Fans and opponents called boxer Joe Lewis the ring robot because he was utterly unemotional. His cold, calm demeanor was far more terrifying than any crazed look or emotional outburst would have been. Strength is the ability to maintain a hold of oneself. It's being the person who never gets mad, who cannot be rattled because they are in control of their passions rather than controlled by their passions." I've talked a lot about my morning routine here. One of the things I do every morning after I get up is I take a bunch of vitamins that my doctor recommended after some blood tests. I take a vitamin C, a zinc, a omega-3, and I take a couple others who I'm forgetting, but I definitely know whose vitamins I take. And they actually happen to be today's sponsor, and I've been taking them long before Thorne sponsored today's episode. Thorne takes a personalized, innovative, and scientific approach to health and wellness with all their supplements, and they've teamed up with leading medical professionals to bring out highly effective nutritional supplements. Because I'm a runner, I'm always trying to take care of my joints. And with Thorne, I never have to question what's in each supplement. Give your body what it really needs with Thorne. Go to thorne.fit/dailystoic and use code dailystoic for 10% off your first order. That's thorne.fit/dailystoic and use code dailystoic for 10% off your order. thorne.fit/dailystoic. Use code dailystoic. And note, these statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Hey everyone, I'm sitting here talking to you in a pair of sweatpants and slippers from this week's sponsor, Mack Weldon. They're super comfortable. They look awesome. It was really easy to find them when I was shopping online on their store. And it's actually hard not to find something you won't like. Mack Weldon believes in smart design, premium fabrics, and simple shopping. I was a first-time buyer. I love what I got. So check it out. They have other great stuff. They have a line of silver antimicrobial shirts and underwear that eliminate odor. These are basics that look good. They're super resilient. You can wear them to the gym, on a date, to work, wherever. There's a great return policy. If you don't like even their underwear, you can keep it for free. But I think you'll like them. For 20% off your first order, you can go to mackweldon.com. That's MACKWELDON, mackweldon.com, and you can enter promo code STOIC. That's mackweldon.com. Enter promo code STOIC. Welcome to another episode of Ask Daily Stoic. You send me, Ryan Holiday, your questions about stoicism, about the Stoics, about life. I try to answer. We put it on YouTube. We put it on the podcast. Thanks for listening. And if you want to send us some questions, you can send those in at info@dailystoic.com. All right. Our first question, how should I react or embrace a continuous problem? For example, my roommate does not pick up around the house. This is not an issue that I could simply let go or embrace. I'm forcibly put into a situation I don't want to be in. Another example is that I'm working at a job I don't want to work at. This is a situation I don't want to be in. Quitting is a gamble on my future, even granting that it was my own ignorance that brought this situation. A bad job is not something you intend, but what do I do? So I think this is a good question. So first off, the Stoics would go like, let's say there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. So you have to endure it. Is it really so bad that you have to endure some mess around the house? You know, Marcus Aurelius goes like, endure it and it can't go on forever because you'll die or they'll die. And so there's kind of a glibness to that, but I think it's true. It's just a reminder that like, look, this is not cancer, right? But sometimes because we don't have other problems going on, because we do have other problems going on, we fixate on these minor things or we fixate on what other people are doing. So the second thing the Stoics would talk about would be that, right? What can you do around your house that might influence the situation, right? Instead of just hoping your roommate will change their behavior, instead of yelling at them to change their behavior, instead of focusing on them, which you don't control, what do you control, right? And maybe it's having a conversation, maybe it's setting up systems, maybe it's cleaning up your stuff. Maybe if you really hate it, it's just cleaning up their stuff, right? There's lots of options inside that. And then the third thing the Stoics would go is like, okay, if you really don't like this, if you're really unhappy with it, what are you willing to trade to get out of it, right? Can you move? Can you sublet out your unit? Like, just get out of it, right? Like, if it's really making you as miserable as you feel like it's making you, and the Stoics would say it's probably not, but let's say it is, can you get out of it? I think about this with jobs. Like, there's been plenty of jobs that I've had that I haven't liked. So I'd say, okay, I'm going to leave this job. I'm going to do something else. In the meantime, though, let's say I can't leave until I save up enough money to do X, or there's this project I have to finish. I go, now that I know that there is an end date to this thing that's causing me discomfort or misery, what can I learn in the interim period? What can I do in the interim period? And I think this is a similar thing with your roommate. So you've got 3 months left on your lease. Okay, can you practice putting up with this for 3 months? Can you practice being, you know, more direct if you're a non-confrontational person with your roommate for the next 3 months? Can you practice being more organized and helpful? And what is the opportunity? If you cannot change this situation, if you simply have to put up with it, what can you do with that fact that makes you better, that presents you an opportunity to improve? But all of this, I think, is under the larger umbrella, which is, they sound like some first world problems. So not to belittle it, but they sound like some first world problems. So I'd keep that in perspective as well. All right, the next question. Would you recommend a work of any modern philosopher who is Stoic or influenced by Stoicism? I absolutely can. That's a great question. And I happen to have this book in front of me because I was talking about it in an earlier question. This is Pierre Hadot. He's a French philosopher. He wrote a fantastic book about Marcus Aurelius called The Inner Citadel, The Meditations of Marcus Aurelius. There's another book, Philosophy as a Way of Life by Pierre Hadot. Also very good. Influenced sort of about Stoicism, but not just about Stoicism. Donald Robertson's book, How to Think Like a Roman Emperor, came out recently. Very good. He's a great thinker about Stoicism, very thoughtful guy. Alain de Botton has written some interesting things, sort of inspired by, about Stoicism. We did an interview with Darren Brown. He's a British magician, but he's also written books on happiness that are largely influenced by Stoicism. I think he's really great. So we've got a bunch of resources on the Daily Stoic website, but I would say two other books, if I was thinking philosophy that's influenced by Stoicism. Viktor Frankl's book, Man's Search for Meaning, very good, sort of driven by Stoicism in a lot of ways. You know, I think Mark Manson, if I was going to really pop, really sort of accessible, recent, modern, I think Mark Manson's stuff, which is a little more Zen Buddhist than Stoic, but I'd sort of consider him a fellow traveler. He's a great guy. Check out his books as well. All right, next question. I have a small problem reconciling my atheism with my Stoicism. Can one be both? I'm sure the answer is yes, but I would love to hear it discussed. I mean, look, I don't think you have to reconcile your atheism with Stoicism. To me, Stoicism is a philosophy and religion is separate. So there's this great quote from Flaubert where he talks about how there was this moment in history between Cicero and Marcus Aurelius. He says, where man stood alone in the universe. So Marcus Aurelius and Christianity do not go well together, actually. So it's the opposite of the reconciliation. I think the Christians probably have more work to do. But Rusticus, who introduces Marcus Aurelius to Stoicism, persecutes and executes Justin Martyr, you know, Seneca's brother, is actually adjudicates a case involving St. Paul. So for many, many years of Stoicism's sort of heyday in Rome, it was outwardly hostile to Christianity. And I'm writing about this a little bit in my next book, so you can stay tuned for that. But Stoicism definitely believed that there was a God, or gods, but more in the Roman sense. So gods were these sort of rituals, these sort of official deities. It wasn't the same as the sort of Christianity, sort of modern religious sense that we have now. There's a recent translation of an essay by Cicero that sort of focuses on Stoicism and spirituality. It's by Princeton University Press. I think it's called How to Think About God, or What to Think About God, or something like that. But I might check that out. It's sort of an interesting dialogue. But I think there's plenty in Stoicism that makes it compatible with religion. The idea of the logos or fate, you know, the word and the way, both that's logos in Latin, that's there. But at the same time, the Stoics are talking about, I think, a much more logical reason for doing the things that they do. So like Jesus and Seneca are born in the same year. And whereas Jesus is saying, like, follow me, obey the law of God, or you'll go to hell, or you know, like, you won't have an afterlife. I think what Seneca is saying at the very same time, in the very same empire, is like, don't be a bad person because you'll be unhappy, right? It will make you miserable. So I think really the Stoics are saying a lot of similar things to the Christians, but they're saying them for very different reasons. And there were plenty of Christians. Actually, the interesting thing about Justin Martyr is like he studied a Stoic philosopher before he under a Stoic philosopher before he converted to Christianity. So I don't think they're as unreconcilable as you think, but they're also quite easily reconciled. Christianity and Stoicism, or atheism and Stoicism. I think primarily what the Stoics would tell you to do is just focus on what is making you a better, more virtuous person, not what solves some metaphysical, you know, explanation of the universe. Focus on your self-improvement, not these big abstract questions. Anyways, that's what I try to do. So thanks, guys. This has been another episode of Ask Daily Stoic. Keep asking questions. You can send them to info@dailystoic.com, and I'll keep answering them. Thanks. If you're liking this podcast, we would love for you to subscribe. Please leave us a review on iTunes or any of your favorite podcast listening apps. It really helps. And tell a friend. Hey, Prime members, you can listen to The Daily Stoic early and ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen early and ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related right activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some But You Just Lost One trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.